Welcome to a special edition of Radio Parallax. This is a little bit outside of the norm of what we do, although not much. And I think a way to start this is by mentioning the old familiar expression, which I think is an Arabic expression. I'm not sure. But it is that the enemy of your enemy is your friend. In this case, for this correspondent, something he would consider to be the enemy has often been real estate developers. And some months ago, I guess it was a couple years ago at this point, I noticed that there was a candidate for the supervisor's race in Alameda County who was getting a lot of developer money thrown into the materials that are sent out in the mail to discourage people from voting. And I thought, I need to know more about this guy because somebody really does not want to see this guy get places. And the candidate in question was Vinnie Bacon. Vinnie Bacon is currently running again, not for supervisor, but in this case for the mayor of Fremont. And we thought he's the kind of guy we want to talk to about his stance on, for example, not taking developer money. That's a great place to start. To that, I would say, welcome to Radio Parallax, Vinnie Bacon.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me here.
And I guess the standard question that you suggested we need to get to, let's just get to it right away. Let's just ask that question of, Vinny, why do you want to be Fremont's next mayor?
Well, I think for me, I have a passion for city planning and transportation. I majored in that. I did a joint program at UC Berkeley in city planning and transportation engineering. And I like the idea of city planning. But of course, when you graduate, you're just doing grunt work. And then I got into tech because, as you probably know, tech pays pretty well. And I was doing some very technical work. So actually, I've been in tech for quite a while now. Two or three decades. But I've always had a passion for city planning and really wanted to get back into it. And of course, as the mayor or city council member, you are doing city planning at the highest level. So to really be involved in those kind of discussions is a real passion of mine. Definitely, I have seen, what's going on in the city, and I definitely am not happy with the development pattern of what we've seen in Fremont. And of course, we studied all sorts of great cities and how they were planned. And then I moved to Fremont. And what I saw there was real estate developers would take a parcel, develop it to their liking. The parcel next door would be developed to that real estate, and it was usually just done to maximize profits, which meant shove in as many homes as you can. And there was no real cohesion. And the other thing that really motivated me to run was seeing the Patterson Ranch development in, over in Ardenwood by Coyote Hills Regional Park. And I got involved in that and seeing blatant pay-to-play, where you had the developers and the property owners giving literally tens of thousands to the council members and then watching them get elected. So that, I think, is something that I just saw and was like, I want to take that on. And it was funny because we looked at, who the best people would be to run, because we realized we needed to get someone on the council, ideally a majority, but we needed to start with one person. And no one wanted to run. And I was at a time in my life and I said, what the heck, I'll do it. So that's what led me to first run. And, kind of once you get in, it's, one could say, an addiction or an obsession. And okay, you want to win and you get into it. And so here I am.
Well, I guess you're kind of analogous, Vinny, to Dick Cheney when they said, pick a vice president. Hey, how about me?
Well, yeah, and I do have the background in city planning. So I was like, sure, hey, I can do it. So why not? So
sure. Well, I can tell you that I share your, disgust. Is that the right word? In my case, it's the right word. I don't know what you did, but for you, but disgust with what has happened to Fremont. Because I go back to looking at what happened back from the 50s forward, and it hasn't been nice. We had a reunion at the high school some weeks ago, and it was funny because everybody talked about how nice it was back then mm-hmm. and how it's not mm-hmm. so nice now. And it's just the traffic has gotten out of control.
Yep.
And it's been too much development. And the agriculture has been pretty much eliminated. Although I want to talk about that in a minute, but before we do, I want to cite the fact that you're under siege again from moneyed interests.
Yep.
I'm holding in my right hand numerous heavy duty cardboard pieces they've been sending out attacking you.
Yep, three of them so far. So probably a fourth in my mailbox today. We'll see.
Well, and what makes me laugh about it is that the group, I guess dark money group that's doing this, is called Preserving Agriculture in Alameda County, Supporting Raj Salwan for Mayor. Well, if they're going to preserve agriculture in Alameda County, they're a little late. They're late to the game. What do you know about these people?
Well, I think it is appropriate. You know, dark money sounds kind of evil, but it is true. We know nothing about these people. I do think they are possibly linked to some people that also funded the mailers against me when I ran for supervisor. Are related to, you know, people out in Livermore in that area. So, but I think in general, it's just a pack. You know, you can create a pack, call it whatever you want, you know, good guys for Fremont, you know, and then whoever you want can fund it. You know, it doesn't matter the name of the pack. But yeah, I think it's kind of funny. They could have picked something a little different because I don't think I have a record of going after agriculture in Alameda County. So I, you know, it is kind of funny. And I am hoping that people will look at that and go, what the heck? Who are these people? It's obviously a dark money, you know, and we don't know who they're, you know, going after.
If they didn't have that reaction when they saw this mail in the mailbox, I'm happy to draw their attention to it.
Yep.
You know, this is nonsense. And of course, they're not shying away from, you know, swinging below the belt here.
Oh, yeah.
They're tying you to Pamela Price. They're tying you to ethics violations. And that, let's talk about that. I mean, they're making these charges that, you know, that you have poor attendance record and ethics violations. And you've been very frank about the fact, as I understand it, that there's something there, but it's not as portrayed. Tell us about it.
Sure. Well, that's one thing I think the big difference between Raj Salwan and I in our response to that NBC Bay Area article. NBC Bay Area, you know, I talked with the guys and they wanted to be fair. So they asked Raj, you know, what are your complaints about him or what, you know, because we had a lot of complaints about Raj. We brought to their attention all the things that, you know, we found. But, you know, they were right that I was fined by the Fair Political Practices Commission for filing forms late. There's a 24-hour reporting period when you donate more than $1,000. And I was late on that a few times. The FPPC did note that the impact to the public was minimal and especially that there was no intent to hide money. That's the main thing they're looking at is, you know, is money given and then moved through another source and then kind of, you know, got into your campaign through the back door, like were you taking foreign money or something like that? And of course, there was none of that. I don't have big... big developer, big monies, and coming from anywhere, helping me out, you know. So anyway, that is true. And I cop to that, you know. If it's an ethics violation because I filed things late, I don't know. I think that's rather harsh calling it ethics when I was simply late filing the forms. And as far as the missing meetings, they did. The way the mayor does it is he or she just basically assigns people to, you're going to this commission, you're going to that commission. And I was assigned to one in Alameda County, in Oakland, during the weekday. And, you know, I had a job at the time where I was working in San Francisco, and it was really hard to get to. And I had an alternate who I could call and say, hey, I can't make this meeting. Can you please make it? But it was hard for them as well. So, yes, there were a lot of those missing meetings. But I think that's the biggest difference between Raj and I is, you know, first of all, I don't think either of those things are ethics. I mean, I'm happy to talk about them at length, but they definitely are, I would argue, unethical behavior. Basically, NBC Bay Area said, Vinnie Bacon is saying these things about you. What do you have to say about him? And those two things were the only things that he could come up with. So you will hear, you know, all sorts of things being thrown at me. But when, you know, true investigative reporters were going to look at this issue, those are the only two things he could come up with. So, you know, you're going through his mailers and seeing all sorts of accusations and things, but that was it, those two things. And again, I'm not perfect, and yes, but I really do want to point out that, you know, he is just trying his best to deny what an investigative reporter found out about him. And incredibly, he's blaming his father, saying his father runs the vet clinic.
Right. He is a veterinarian and there's some issues with his clinic, I guess.
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. And we can get into that later. But anyway, he's blaming his father, who happens to be 80 years old. I'm sorry. His father is not running his property management company, and his father is not a practicing veterinarian at his facility, and he's not run the facility. Raj is the one in charge. But to blame your father like that, and that, you know, to throw your father under the bus and saying my 80-year-old father is to blame, I think that's absurd. And I have heard from a number of people who were just shocked that that was his response, as opposed to taking ownership. So, and I'll just say one more thing. You know, I'm in customer support. I've been there for a long time. When you have a problem, you address it. You say, you know, I'm just thinking of Domino's, who even said their pizza tastes bad. So they changed it. They said, okay, we've got these complaints. We're going to change it. But Raj has had these numerous complaints, but his attitude is just, let's deny it. Let's try to sweep it all under the rug.
Well, Vinny, I'm a little bit underwhelmed by the materials that Mr. Salwan is sending out. In fact, I have to laugh at some of the things that he's putting in here because he apparently is pointing out that he's going to repair potholes, make street improvements, such as repaving older streets. Now, of course, I guess you're opposed to that, right?
Yeah.
Come on!
Yeah.
I mean, who is going to do that as mayor? He wants to elevate Fremont with premier dining, vibrant entertainment, and exceptional retail experience. Well, that sounds like you're going to be depending on some developer friends to make those things happen, in my mind. And then he wants to preserve Fremont's open spaces, wetlands, and hillsides. Well, again, a little bit late to do some of that, but there is some of that can be done, and I think you're committed to doing some of that too. Talk about what we can still do at this point with what remains of Fremont.
Yeah. Well, I would say one thing is that, you know, you talked a bit about real estate developers, and I don't think they're evil. I mean, they are, you know, trying to make a buck, that, you know, like any businessman, and, you know, we could get into all sorts of industries that are trying to make a buck and not doing so or causing some damage as they do so. But I think the big thing is that, you know, if a developer comes to Fremont, it's a negotiation. They obviously want to maximize their profits, and that's understandable. But on the other hand, you know, we represent the city, and we need to push back and say, okay, we want development in Fremont. We want those entertaining dining experiences. We want homes. But when a developer comes in, we need to push back and say, well, this is what we really want in Fremont. This is what would be best for our city. We want a well-planned city, so you're going to fit into the plan. We have a plan we put together, and you're going to fit into it. And we need to develop a good plan and make developers fit into it. And I think that's something, you know, that's a negotiation that goes on. But what I've seen so much, especially my first years on the council, is developers would come in. Again, they would take their parcel, shove as many homes as they could into it, make the most profit they could, and it would just fly by the planning commission, and then the city council would just approve it 5-0. Although when I was elected, it was 4-1. You know, there was no pushback. It was just the developers got what they wanted. You want a negotiation. You want a city that pushes back and says, hey, I represent Fremont. I represent the people that live here. Here is what they want. Let's, you know, and we need to compromise. We need to negotiate. But there was just none of that. And again, when you had council members who were just taking money from developers, often were developers themselves. And again, now I find myself up against someone who is a real estate developer, although he wants to deny it.
Yes.
But he's most definitely a major landowner. Of that, there is no argument. So,
well, you know about what you're speaking about, having been on the city council for 8 years.
Yep.
So you saw this up close and personal year after year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, when we turn it around and talk about Salwan is denying, well, I'm not really a developer per se.
Well, let's look at the facts.
Okay.
He did bring a development. He owns his vet clinic on Fremont Boulevard there. He brought an application in, I believe it was 2018, while he was on the council, to add, I believe it was 18-unit development. He brought that as an application and then stopped it. I don't know why he stopped it, but there's no thing stopping him from bringing it back. And as I joke with the average resident, did you ever bring forth an 18-unit development? No, you didn't. Well, guess what? You're not a developer. Developers do that. And it's really scary to think that, you know, he brags about how he's got the support of the full council, that the council is behind him. And so what if he comes mayor and says, well, now I want to develop this? Do you think staff is going to be objective when that proposal comes? Do you think they're going to push back, knowing that this is the mayor who actually has a very significant role in deciding their salaries and the increases to their salaries? It's just a blatant conflict of interest.
Yeah.
And he says, no, I'm not a developer because I pulled that project back. He owns apartment complexes. He and his father own apartment complexes on Central Avenue, and he is adding units to those, which is development. And there, I looked and... there's a number of things where, he needs building permits for. So he's got a lot of activity with the city. And it's just, again, I just don't think staff could be objective and say, hey, here's the mayor trying to do something. And are we going to push back here, because we see a violation? Are they really going to go after the mayor like that? I don't think so.
Based on 60 years of watching what's been going on around here, I would agree. It seems to be, it's quite the old boy and I guess now old gal network. And that's just how it works. And it's not unique to Fremont. It's everywhere you want to look. I'm thinking when I was in grade school, there must have been 40,000 people, 30,000 people in what is today Fremont.
Yeah.
And that's, now we're at 250,000.
Yep.
And a lot of what used to be open space is gone, but there is, there's some left, thankfully.
Yep. Yeah, and they're definitely, some people argue, it's developed, it can't be developed anymore. That's not true. There was a proposal to put 3,000 homes on the other side of 880 over by Pacific Commons. There's a lot of land there. It was where they were going to put the ballpark, and the ballpark and the 3,000 homes that went along with it. There's that. There's also development, pressuring up by Niles Canyon. Union City is actually interested in annexing part of Fremont so that they can develop there. Right?
Really?
Yes, to the east of Mission and north of Niles Canyon. There's some property. It's basically very hilly property, but there is a significant development being planned there. And some of that, again, to fully do it, they would need to annex or, purchase some land from Fremont. So there are...
Do you think that's going to happen?
Union City is pushing it forward. So,
Lord. And
then also I would, take a look at, in Newark. I don't know if you're aware of the old, pick and pull by the very end of Mowry out there. They're going to destroy the, pick and pull facility and it's going to become like 200 homes that is currently, under progress right now.
I have to ask you about Newark. You're not running for to be the mayor of Newark.
Yep.
But when I come back over the Dumbarton Bridge and I look to the right and I see all of these large homes, multi-story homes, going in right in the marshland.
Yep, yep.
I have to just ask, well, what are people thinking in Newark? I mean...
Yeah, it is incredible. I've actually took some photos of that area, and it's just incredible that it goes right up to the wetlands. And I, as a an environmentalist, I mean, I think we do need more homes. We do need to grow, but not by pushing out into the wetlands. There's a lot of sprawl up, in the valley, well to the east of here. But also, you can sprawl, towards the wetlands. But I really think we need to develop. If we are going to develop more homes, which we are, we need to do it in a denser pattern, near BART and near the center of the city.
Well, here's a question I had not thought to ask you, but that just popped into my head.
Sure.
We did a show a few weeks back concerning what the Army Corps of Engineers is planning to do in Sacramento to the American River Parkway,
yep.
which was not, they were doing it on the QT. They were trying to keep it underneath the radar. And when we started talking about it, we got a surprising amount of feedback from people saying, oh, I didn't know about this.
Mm-hmm.
And they were getting riled about it and saying, well, they're going to push back. The Army Corps now said, since there's public concern, we're going to go back a year. What I was telling those people was that you really should see what happened to Alameda Creek, because 50 or so years ago, the Army Corps came in and they put riprap all the way down the creek down to Coyote Hills. Any thought about how that could be restored to an environment more like the parkway in Sacramento, which is a tremendous resource they have in the Sacramento area? I mean, it's the riprap is not so nice.
No. Well, it's one thing, a tangent I don't want to go way off on, but, I did work at...
That's an unfair question I want to say, but okay.
But I worked at Save the Bay for a while, and that story of the three women who put that together, the Army Corps of Engineers had plans to basically pave over the bay. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. And these three women found out about it and they formed Save the Bay. And this was, you know, women didn't get involved in politics back then. This was the 60s and women didn't get, and there were no environmental organizations doing that. But what they did was astounding. And they basically ended up founding or getting founded the Bay Conservation Development Corps. But anyway, as part of my work at Save the Bay and also on the San Francisco Bay Restoration Authority was to work to try to restore some of those wetlands.
Yeah.
Especially where there are, you know, the salt ponds out by Cargill. And they are doing some really good work there because the bay, of course, you know, historically had a huge amount of wetlands that have just been, you know, filled in and a lot of development. But there are good restoration efforts to, you know, restore, to restore those wetlands. So I'm fully in favor of that. It's not really something in the purview of the cities per se. But you know, again, there is the Cargill salt there that, you know, but I would fully be in favor of doing what we can to restore those wetlands to their, you know, original state.
Well, so. I certainly hope so. And I'm sorry about asking that question, but it just, struck in my mind that like, it could be so much better.
Yep.
It could be
yep.
so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, let's circle back to your opponent in the mayoral race. We did say he's got a one-line statement in his materials. He wants to preserve open spaces, wetlands, and hillsides. I lack confidence in him in this area myself. But I guess there's more to be said about, I guess you'd say, your opponent's deficiencies from some research that's been done. Talk about that.
Sure. We actually did a lot of research on his Facebook reviews, on his Yelp reviews. And at one point, it I don't want to say it became an obsession, but we were just finding so much. And it was just so interesting. And what he did with the Yelp reviews was rather very unethical. But what he did was, with Yelp, if you are the verified owner of a business, you can change the address. And you can change the name. So I can take Vinny's Tacos in Fremont and change it to Joe's Burritos in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
So if you're looking for reviews on my taco stand, you won't find them. I've effectively hidden them because Yelp does not delete reviews. So that was what he did. And we found that he had moved them over to a location in East Palo Alto. The address was actually a boarded up building. And he created a fake website with himself as the vet practicing at this facility. Completely fictitious. And then what happened, though, is that I can always start a new business, you know, if it's not there, I can be the first one to review it. And someone did that, again, about his vet facility. And then we found a second business had been formed. This was Golden State Vet, located out in King City. And again, and you could tell that, you know, they named Dr. Salwan in some of the reviews. And the phone number on both of these was his actual vet office.
So wait, he was using a vet office as local, but pretending it was in King City?
Yes. So again, as the verified owner of a business, you can say, oh, my address has changed.
Oh.
My name has changed.
Uh-huh.
So what was his facility, now all of a sudden, the reviews are now associated with a place called Golden State Vet, which again does not exist, and it's located in King City. And there was even a fake website created for that one as well.
Hmm.
And this was, you know, I mean, it was just shocking to see this. And then there was yet another one that started because, again, if you want to start a review, say you have a bad experience at a place and you look for it and it's not there. Again, you can be the first one to say, I want to create a review against this business that I don't see on Yelp right now. And there was yet another one that started in April of this year, someone posted. So we contacted Yelp, and Yelp eventually did investigate and said, yes, these are fake businesses, and now they have collapsed all of the links to the prior businesses and all of his reviews into his actual website. And I would just say I encouraged in a recent mailer that's going out soon and in an email, read those reviews. They're just shocking the amount of unethical behavior that you see, and you can really understand why Raj was so interested in hiding them. I mean, just the stories and the mistreatment of animals. And of course, you know, the people who are posting these reviews are very, you know, they love their animals, like most people do. And to find out that they were mistreated, or, you know, that you were taken advantage of, it really hits, you know, it hits hard. And again, the reviews, just the level of unethical behavior is just shocking. And I really would argue, if this is how he runs his business, how is he going to run the city?
Well, you've gotten some publicity locally here. I have an article in my hand titled "Fremont Mayoral Candidates Trade Jabs," and you guys really have been going at it. It's a little bit unusual.
Yep. Well, and I would say that, you know, Ranch is, he's kind of limited the amount of attacks directly at me, because he has a PAC, this Preserving Agriculture that we mentioned, that is doing the dirty work for him. So it's, you know, it's nice when you have a PAC like that that can be all dirty and, you know, really unethical and just slam your opponent. And you can say, oh, I'm Mr. Nice Guy, I'm running a positive campaign. I don't have a PAC like, there's no real deep-pocketed investors or whomever that are, you know, so I have to do it myself. But I really would argue, some people are like, oh, you're just being negative. And I'm like, well, people deserve to find out about Raj Salwan. For example, most people didn't even know that he owns over $100 million in property. People that I know that know him for years, I mentioned what we found there. And again, that's all public information. Mm-hmm. Let's get back to the FPPC for a sec. He filed a form that lists all of his financial holdings in Fremont. You have to do that as an elected official to basically say, hey, here's the property I own. So, you know, discloses. And we found out that he also serves on an Alameda County board, but he did not disclose the property that he owns in Alameda County that is not in Fremont.
I see.
And he had to do that. And we found out. And so we filed a complaint with the FPPC and said, look, we've can clearly see the parcel records show he owns all this property. And he had to file an amendment, an 86-page amendment, listing the properties that he owns in Alameda County that aren't in Fremont. And this, in our opinion, was a blatant, it was an attempt to hide. He should have known that, yes, I have to declare everything in Alameda County, but he did not.
I presume also he was not trying to preserve any agriculture in Alameda County.
We didn't find any agricultural land that he owns.
So. Well, I'm just holding one of these hit pieces, hit pieces aimed at you. And I mean, they really decided, I guess Pamela Price is under some controversy right now. There's a recall effort. And so they're trying to link you to her. Yep. If you like District Attorney Price, you'll love Vinnie Bacon. But is there any connection at all between you and the DA?
I did support Pamela Price, and I am against the recall. I'm happy to say that. I've actually heard people try to argue the recall, and they say, oh, she's not prosecuting criminals. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. Of course she's prosecuting criminals. that's what the DA does. So there's nothing to it. But yes, they're really trying to link me.
Aside from being leaning in her direction and a supporter, you're not really linked to her in any capacity?
No. Well, my wife does work at the DA's office, so they do want to bring that up. And I'm a supporter, and I am against the recall. You know, that's it. But I think the thing that really strikes me is, how in the world is crime going to get worse in Fremont if I'm elected? Because that's what they're implying, that somehow I'll do something, I don't know what, and the other thing that Raj is lying to people about is he's saying I am a proponent of defunding the police.
Oh yeah, it says right here, you would consider allocating funds away from police services.
Which is absolutely not true.
Yeah.
There's a quote that was taken out of context. What I've argued, and Raj has argued, is that we need more mental health services, we need more social services, so that a lot of those calls that the police take, you know, for mental health crises, they could be handled by a mental health professional. And if we had more of those services, that would actually potentially take calls away from the police, that the police could focus on other things. That's not defunding the police. It's saying we need to fund some of those services that, you know, the police are now having to do. Because right now, if there is a homeless person that is staying somewhere they should not, the police are the ones that come in and have to deal with that. Maybe it's better if you had someone from social services who said, look, you know, you can't stay here, you're going to have to move, and what can we do to help you? Because, of course, all the police are going to do with a homeless person is say that, you know, you have to leave, and then they're going to go someplace else. The police can't ultimately solve the problem of that homeless person and get them into permanent housing. It's just not what the police do.
Right.
So, but yeah, to say that I'm an advocate of those social services and mental health services, which again, Rajah said that as well, that's not arguing for defunding the police. And I have never said, in fact, when the George Floyd protesters came to the council in 2020, I noted Fremont actually has one of the lower rates of, you know, police officers per population. And the last thing we should do is defund the police. And I got booed by those protesters for saying that. But so...
Yeah, I was at dinner not long ago, and there was a couple of uniformed officers there, and I started talking with them, and they just said, "Yeah, we need more people. We're understaffed."
Yep, absolutely. And that's one of the things that I'm fully in favor of what staff has been doing is to, you know, try hiring efforts or, you know, hiring bonuses or, you know, really aggressive hiring to get more police, because we do have a number of vacancies that need to be filled. And we definitely, you know, need to get aggressive because sooner or later, a lot of these older ones are going to retire and the problem is just going to get worse.
Well, Vinny, if you do become the mayor, and you've got other members of the city council, and you're attempting to do the right thing in terms of maybe denying some of what Joe Developer wants to do. Mm-hmm. Do you have support? I mean, you're going to get people going to be on your side, or is it going to be a 4-1 vote against you?
Well, now there's 7 on the council.
So. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
But no, I think that, you know, and I do think as a council member, you know, I was able to push back and suggest some changes. And I think that, you know, I think the people are behind me, and I think the other council members will see that. And I just think right now there's, you know, pressure. Again, you have a developer wanting to be mayor. You have a lot of pressures that way. And I think, you know, if the public says we want to push back, and again, I'm not anti-development. I just think that we could do better as far as what development we allow. And we could, you know, encourage, you know, actually getting more affordable housing, developing, not pushing out into the wetlands, but, you know, doing something, you know, that is more, you know, community oriented and not just parceling land and getting as many homes in there as you can. And it may be a little tiny community place, but they're just, it's just not the kind of development we need. So I think we can, you know, is it going to be perfect? No, but I think we can push to getting more development that actually will be better for Fremont.
Well, I wasn't around much when you were on the city council back in 2012, I guess, to 2020.
Yep.
Well, I guess I've been here in the last few years, but I guess it wasn't always a shutout. There were a lot of times when the votes went the way you would have preferred.
Yeah. There were, interestingly, when Lily May joined the council, what would that have been in 2014? It then shifted to 3-2. Because Lily May and I saw eye to eye on a number of the developments, but that situation has changed. Let's just say that.
Where would you say it stands at the moment? Versus pro-developer or maybe or not?
I don't, it's hard to say because I don't really want to classify everyone as pro-developer.
Sure, sure.
But yes, it is definitely leaning that way. And I think we can, I hopefully change that. So, and again, it's not like, it's not like, you know, no development, you know, some people have accused me of that as you just want to stop all development. And no, that's unrealistic. But again, pushing to get more of something, you know, a little bit better, at least. I think we can do that.
Well, I guess there's a certain amount of horse trading when somebody wants to do something and you say, well, yep, we'll let you do it, but we'd like you to do X, Y, or Z.
Exactly. You know, and I think that, you know, I think the other thing too is that when you show developers, especially like in our downtown area or something, and you can show them, we have a good plan. This area, we have a good plan for this whole area. We would like you to fit into that plan. I think the developers see, wow, if this really does, you know, come to fruition and we are a part of that plan, this will be a nice, you know, a nice area. I mean, if we could really do something, you know, and get downtown to be what, you know, we would like it to be, I think a developer would come along and say, okay, maybe it's not exactly, you know, I'm not going to just make the most money and run, but I'm going to get something that a long term is going to be quite profitable. And it's going to be a very successful area. And, you know, the rents that I'm going to be able to charge there are going to be high. So I think that, you know, is something that, yes, that is, if they can see a good plan, they'll want to fit into it.
Well, I think it's fair to say, in summary, that you do not have the potential conflicts of interest that your opponent does. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about that.
Sure, exactly. You know, it's one thing to have a conflict of interest when a donor is a developer and gives you a donation. And, you know, and I've been there when you have donors that, you know, you, and then all of a sudden they come to the council asking for something, you can't forget, hey, this was one of my key supporters. And I think that's a potential conflict of interest. And that's why I originally said, I don't take developer money. Because when a developer comes with an application to the council, I will have no conflict of interest. I will not look at that person and say, oh, that's one of my supporters. I need to be nice to them. So that's, I think, one level of conflict of interest. It's another to actually own property and be the one developing yourself. And that is where Raj Salwan is. Again, he owns over $100 million worth of property in Alameda County, 40% of which is in Fremont. Now, he will argue, oh, I can recuse myself if the development is within a certain distance of his home. And he's had to do that over 60 times. He's had to say, I can't vote on this because, you know, and that's just, you know, do we want a mayor that can't vote on things? But on the other hand, though, he is voting on citywide issues, for example, on developer fees, which he will pay himself if he does decide to develop his property on Fremont Boulevard or his other properties. He will pay those development fees. Also, he is a landlord. He owns at least two properties within Fremont, although most of his rental properties are in Hayward and San Leandro. But still, he has made decisions about, you know, for example, how much a landlord can raise the rent without having to provide justification for it. And of course, he voted that no, we should not have to have that limitation. And he has voted very clearly along with the interests of landlords. And that, you know, and he is a landlord. So I think that's inappropriate. And I, you know, again, just owning that much property and then making decisions about property in Fremont, it's just, it is an absolute conflict of interest. And that is one thing I will say in talking to voters before all this other stuff came up. That was the biggest thing. And people universally said, yes, that is a conflict of interest. We should not have a major property owner as our mayor.
Well, when it comes to conflicts of interest, there's one that I'm dying to know, and I imagine you are as well. Who really is behind preserving agriculture in Alameda County, supporting Raj Salwan? I mean, whoever they are, I think they expect to be well regarded by Raj Salwan if he becomes mayor.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know.
But who are they?
Yeah. Well, I have no. I would say it's definitely real estate interests are most likely, you know, landowners for sure. But yeah, we just don't know because I think we will know in like the in a week or two because their filings I think have to come out. But as of now, they've timed it such that we don't know. We have no idea. They haven't. We searched for their financial filings and there are none submitted yet. So we just don't know. So it's. Well, you know, but yeah, and arguably, you know, if Raj Salwan does get elected, he's going to look and say, oh, who are these people who helped me out? They really helped me get elected. They did my dirty work for me. And, you know, it's kind of human nature that you say, okay, I want to be nice to those guys because they helped me. Just like, you know, I'll admit, like if a volunteer of mine who did a lot of work comes and says, hey, I'm interested in getting on this commission or something, I'd be like, you know, hey, you really helped me, and you seem like a good guy. I think I'm going to appoint you to such and such commission.
Well, I just wonder about any actual collusion that's already taken place, because I imagine, just going out on a limb here, I imagine that he knows who they are. Maybe not, but I imagine that he does.
I would guess. Now, technically, with Citizens United, they can pour in as much money as they want,
sure,
but they are not supposed to collude. However, I will argue that the messages coming from the Salwan campaign and coming from this preserving agriculture are pretty much the same.
Yeah, they seem remarkably in sync.
Yes, they are definitely in sync.
We're speaking with Vinnie Bacon, candidate for the office of Mayor of Fremont, California. Well, Vinny, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show and talk about this. I came to this by figuring that if people I don't like you, I need to know more about what you're all about. Mm-hmm. And you know, I hope that the election's 2 weeks away as we record this, and I hope for a big turnout in a lot of reasons, and you know, for the national office right on down here to Fremont. Mm-hmm.
Well, I really appreciate your having me here. And I think the voters, you know, really need to do their homework and understand what's going on. I think that's one of the problems we have nowadays is that people just vote. They don't really do their homework to understand who are the candidates, what are their interests, and who are they backing and who's backing them. And I think this has been a very informative conversation. And I hope voters listen to it and get something out of it.
And as we close, I should just stress that, you know, you really do have a background in planning, the planning of cities. Mm-hmm. Not to disparage people who have degrees in veterinary medicine, but that's not the same thing. You've been listening to a special edition of Radio Parallax. I'm Douglas Everett. Our thanks to Vinnie Bacon for a most informative conversation.